knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films,
we do.
Then Dean's your guy.
He is.
So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Maybe not today.
Dean, do you know what's going on right outside of our studio as we speak? Do you know what's going on here?
Somebody urinating?
Well, that's constantly. There's always that. But
enjoy your
great
lunch,
guess.
Everyone.
Yeah, thanks. Hope you're having lemonade with it.
They are.
I have a taste for lemonade.
No,
what is wrong with me?
What is wrong with you?
That's not right. They're installing your star, Dean, in the WGN Walk of Fame,
that's
and they're going to have a huge ceremony for you.
That's what I've heard. Yep. A spy sent me a photo of the plaque, the bronze plaque that will be embedded in the cement, that thousands of years from now, when archaeologists are uncovering the rubble that once was the city of Chicago, they'll find these Walk of Fame plaques and go, who's this guy?
How ironic is it that you're receiving a plaque when you have for years fought against plaque and tooth decay?
How does
that happen?
I am a very strong opponent of plaque,
right?
Gingivitis.
Yep.
All the gingers. Really.
Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers. Ginger from Gilligan's Island.
Ginger Grant.
All the gingers.
Yep.
I'm extremely anti-ginger.
But you like people with red hair. Figure that.
Well, that's true. That's
weird.
Very, very true.
That's weird.
It's, you know what's weird is when I got this picture, and you know we've known about this Walk of Fame thing for a while. Very nice honor. But it's really different when you see the actual thing that's going to go on the sidewalk.
How so? Why is it different?
I don't know. It's like it's. I
makes
guess
it official.
I guess this wasn't a practical joke on the part of Jimmy DeCastro after all.
The WGN Walk of Fame ceremony. You can find out all the information you need to know at WGNRadio.com. It's on May 27th.
Oh, I'm busy that day.
Oh yeah, no, well, you got to come to this, Dean. It's big. Your mom's going to come probably, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and
sure. It legitimizes everything he's been doing forever.
These years of suffering.
Yep.
Here's what you get. Sit in the hot sun and watch the plaque be unveiled.
Who, if you could have anybody from your past, living or dead, if you could have anybody there at your ceremony, who would it be?
Oh,
other
my,
than your mom.
My grandmother.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, my grandmother, because she was one of the ones that yelled down in the basement while all the kids were outside playing ball and I was inside playing radio station.
Yeah.
in her thick aww, Greek accent that I won't even try to duplicate. To go. Why don't you go outside and get some fresh air? You'll never amount to anything doing that. So,
you know, I was listening to you this weekend, and you and Dave Schwann in the newsroom were saying how when both of you were young, you had pretend radio stations. Both of you did.
That's kind of sad, isn't it?
No,
really?
That's
isn't
not
it really?
Sad, is it? I don't think so.
Oh, the poor dorks that are on Sunday morning.
I just would be
sad
at
childhoods
parties, and I really liked Sky Daniels at the time.
Right.
And I called myself Sky Snides,
nice.
And I had to take care of like whatever Journey song anybody wanted to hear. So I didn't really have a pretend radio station, but I knew I wanted to spin the discs, the
yeah.
platters.
So
yeah.
you were. Like the DJ at the party.
Yeah.
Spinning the truly a disc jockey.
Yep.
Truly a disc jockey.
Dean, I also had a pretend radio station. Every 6 months, my mom and dad would fire me. Just
good
to
training.
Prepare me for the world of radio.
But now,
good,
did you
train? Really, it's a good thing now that my grandmother was yelling at me. I didn't think of that. It prepared me for what was to come.
But radio is it's our geekness. It's our geek,
sure.
our geeky pleasure. And you being a former stand-up comic, did you used to do stand-up in front of the mirror and stuff?
No. I didn't think that would be my career path at all.
When did you decide, I think I want to do stand-up comedy? How did you decide to do that?
I was in an improv group, and somebody explained to me, because I was complaining that after a three-hour work night, a very long night,
jeez,
I'd walk away with $10 or $15, and somebody said, well, you should do stand-up. You get to keep all the money. And the next day, I became a stand-up.
So it was just for money?
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember your first joke that you did as a stand-up?
Yeah, I had, and I think this would still work today, Dean, don't you? Tell me if you think this would work today. I took a little plastic bullwinkle, remember Bullwinkle the Moose?
Sure.
Right? So I had a plastic Bullwinkle the Moose, and I put it on my head in my hair, and I said, I used to have very unruly hair, but now I put moose in it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That would work today.
I think it would.
You were the carrot top of your day
yeah.
with the prop humor.
Yeah.
Except Bill was funny.
I did all Bullwinkle and Rocky based humor. Wow. Everything I did was based on them. Yeah.
You don't get a lot of Bullwinkle J. Moosey
humor. It was a simpler time.
Was it J? I know it was Rocky J. Squirrel. Rocket, I hate to correct you.
Rocky J. Squirrel, but was it Bullwinkle? Didn't Bullwinkle have a middle?
Oh, I can't remember.
If Bill doesn't know, he
did. I want to say just Bullwinkle Moose, but I could be wrong.
Bullwinkle.
Dean, in a moment, we'll come back and we'll find out about this big movie with George Clooney and Julia Roberts, and then I want to ask you something about a big movie from last week as well. Dean Richards is our guest, future WGN Walk of Famer. Stick around. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
I owe Dean an apology.
Sure you do. How come? I think I do, too. We all do.
He said Bullwinkle J. Moose, and I doubted him. I thought it was Rocky J. Squirrel. And can I just tell you something, everyone? Rocky and Bullwinkle share the middle initial J.
Really?
But their middle names are never revealed. Matt Groening gave the three male members of the Simpson family, Bartholomew J., Homer J., and Abraham J., the same initials as a tribute to Rocky and Bullwinkle. Mm.
You know, the creator of Rocky and Bullwinkle's name was J. Ward.
Yes, it was.
And that, I bet, is why he gave
maybe
them
that's
the,
why that big ego
little self-salute.
Put his little name in there.
Maybe.
But you
possibly
were right. I was wrong.
Oh, how about that?
Wasn't he also the voice of Bullwinkle?
I don't know. I've
only
got
Bill
a
would know this.
I don't think so.
Is he not?
But you're on a streak, so maybe.
I know Rocket the Flying Squirrel was the lovely June Foray.
Right.
Very famous voice actress.
She did tons of voices over the years. Yeah.
That's when, you know, it's very common for women to do men's voices.
Yeah.
Squirrel voice.
Mostly squirrel voices.
Bart Simpson.
I need a squirrel. Get me a dame.
Get me a lady.
Get me that dame that does the squirrel voice.
Oh my god.
Dean, last week you told us about this movie, Captain America.
A few people went to see it.
Boy, did it do well. Is it the fifth biggest opening in movie history?
Movie
is that right?
History. That is correct.
Wow.
Good golly.
Wow. Nope. All right, so here's the question I have. Why does Marvel continue to make these movies right, the superhero movies? They make them good. And on the DC end of town, they can't seem to get it right. How come?
You know what? I wonder that so much myself. Part of the refinement of all this is that Disney purchased Marvel recently. And if anyone's got experience with these kinds of films, it's certainly the Disney company. So, you know, they're taking it to another level, as they also are the Star Wars franchise that they bought. But I think the Marvel characters are a little more inherently fun.
Yeah.
There are more levels to the Marvel characters that I think there's a little more to work with. This Captain America movie really is one that, you know, somebody ought to really analyze, because this film is the personification of absolutely doing it right. Mm-hmm. This had almost everything going for it. You know, it's about as nearly perfect as they come for movies like this. I stand by my comments. I've taken a little heat this week from some Marvel fans who are, you know, they can do no wrong, where I said you needed to be a Marvel insider to completely get all the jokes, to, you know, all the references and things, and I still stand by that. I don't think it hurts the movie, but it just, you need to be an insider to get the full range of everything. But it's about as good as a movie is going to come, and you know, it's got all the excitement, it's got all the action, but also it's got some great human stories. It's got self-effacement and humor all over it. So I think that's, you know, that's part of it. I mean, I didn't beat up the Batman Superman movie as much as most critics did.
Yeah,
I just said it was kind of slow moving, but it was kind of humorless. It was a little bit more difficult to watch that movie than it was the Captain America film. That just, you know, they're not as funny. The characters,
right?
The characters don't lend themselves to it. Although, as I'm saying that, certainly the Christopher Reeve Superman movies had its share of, you know, there was plenty of self-effacement and humor and humanization. So, you know, maybe it does all come down to the screenplay and the direction and how you put it all together.
I have a 13-year-old who's a Marvel freak, and Dylan said he was mad that his brother and dad critiqued it a little bit. He was trying to defend the Captain America movie, but then he finally admitted you really kind of didn't need... You kind of didn't need to read the comic book first. That would have helped you.
Yeah.
But it was still good. But he agreed that
agree. Yeah.
It's a it. It
he's
was
a genius. A, he's a genius. He's a genius.
Well, you know, he watches you every morning before school now on TV, and he is a big Dean Richards fan.
He is.
Although he said you need to read the Dean comic book to fully understand all of Dean's comments. So
Dean,
maybe there's something.
Dean J. Richards.
Right, Dean J. Richards. Dean, what about this movie Money Monsters? It's George Clooney and it's Julia Roberts, and right off the bat you say, well, that's got to be a big hit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to be a big hit or not, because both, interestingly, Clooney and Roberts really haven't had too many hits themselves lately. Their track record lately is not super great. This one, I think, might break it a little bit. It is and directed by Jodie Foster, I might add.
Oh, wow. So I didn't know that.
There's quite a bit of star power behind Money Monster. It is it's a movie about a guy, you know, Jim Cramer. Do you know Jim Cramer from, is it CNBC or MSNBC or one of the NBCs, where he does that financial show?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, like the nutty over the top.
Oh, it's a very sexy stock. Sexy stock.
Exactly.
That guy.
Yeah. That guy. George Clooney plays somebody just like that on a show that's called Money Monster. It's you know, a live financial show, and he does crazy stunts. And on this show, he had given some tips for a particular stock that completely tanked. And somebody, a guy dressed up as a delivery man, sneaks into the television station, posing as a delivery man, and holds George Clooney's character hostage on live TV because he wants him to explain, you know, how he ripped him off and how the whole Wall Street situation is rigged and how people are getting screwed left and right by these big corporations. The movie starts off in a really powerful, tense way, as kind of a nail-biting hostage film, hostage drama, but then kind of goes off in a lot of different directions. I think Jodie Foster should have corralled the story a little more. There are lots of little side stories that didn't need to be in there that dilute the main story and the main tension. The story of this guy, what's he going to do? Is he going to kill the George Clooney character? Is he going to blow up the TV station? You know, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
All of those things to kind of keep you on the edge of your seat throughout the movie get diluted with a lot of different side stories.
Mm.
So that I had a problem with. And also, there are tons of things in this movie that just could never happen that also kind of took me out of the story a little bit. The idea that somebody literally could just walk in the back door of a TV station is never going to happen.
No, that could never happen.
That's never going to happen.
No way.
Post 9/11, we barely get in the building anymore, much less somebody saying, hey, I got a delivery for so-and-so, and you walk into the building. That's never going to happen. Lots of things that are happening during this live broadcast would never happen. A lot of the technical things, maybe these are just things that industry people would notice.
Sure.
It's like, that could never happen, and that's not technically possible, and this isn't possible. So it took me out of the movie a little bit, but I think the main problem with this movie, I enjoyed it. I actually kind of liked it. I'll tell you why in a couple of minutes, but what took me out is there were so many little other things that just didn't need to be there that watered it down a little bit. I will say this. Maybe Julia Roberts' best film role in years.
Oh, wow. Good.
She is amazing as the she's this kind of the producer-director in the control room while this hostage drama is going on out in her studio with her anchor guy, the George Clooney character. She's great in such an understated way. George Clooney is also very good. He plays this Kramer type character, this kind of puppet, great. And when things start to go bad, he brings that to it, the sort of fragility of somebody who is now wearing a bomb vest and may die at any moment at the hands of some guy whose life has gone down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that's very interesting about this film as well. A little bit of humor that's also sometimes took me out of the drama of this movie. But overall, I got to say, I enjoyed it. It's an hour and a half. It goes by quickly. I liked the Money Monster. I gave it a Dean's List B.
That sounds encouraging.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean.
Remember how surprised the world scientists were when they looked through their 1,000-inch telescope and saw Rocky and Bullwinkle flying back from the moon.
But do you remember that?
Of course I do.
Phil Dean Scott, Richards. By the way, doing the voice.
Phil Scott. That's the guy.
The metal-munching moon mice, wasn't
Who could forget that?
The metal-munching moon mice?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
I know way more about Rocky and Bullwinkle than a grown man should. Really.
Thank you, Dean J. Richards.
See you guys.
Have a great weekend. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.